You know, when it comes to wireless carriers, sometimes what you see isn't always what you get, except with Visible. With Visible, what you see is exactly what you get. If you haven't heard of Visible, well, now you have. They're the wireless carrier that's making wireless visible. It's in the name. With Visible, there are no hidden fees, no fine print, no hassle, nothing to hide. It's just $25 a month, all taxes and fees included. And you don't need more than one line of wireless to save. You can save on a line all to yourself with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. And again, just $25 a month. The future of wireless is here, and it is transparent. If you want more transparency in your wireless plan, you want to be on the Visible plan. Switch to Visible today and save at Visible.com. That's Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com. This episode of GameScoop is sponsored by Squarespace. If you're looking for a way to make your business stand out and succeed online, Squarespace is the all-in-one website platform for you. They take the stress out of creating an awesome website, engaging with your audience, and selling anything from products to content to time, so you're able to focus on, you know, everything else. In other words, you'll have more time for gaming. With the new guided design system, you can choose from curated layouts and styling options to build a unique online presence from the ground up, optimized for every device. And with Squarespace's integrated, optimized SEO tools, you'll show up more often to more people. Squarespace doesn't just make things easier for you. Checkout for your customers is made seamless with simple but powerful payment tools that allow you to accept credit cards, PayPal, and Apple Pay, and in eligible countries, offer the option to buy now and pay later with Afterpay and Clearpay. So whether you're just starting out or looking to expand your existing brand, be sure to visit squarespace.com for a free trial, and when you're ready to launch, go to squarespace.com/gamescoop to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. That's squarespace.com/gamescoop for 10% off. What's up, everybody? Welcome to IGN GameScoop. I'm your host, Damon Hatfield, and joining me this week are Sam Claiborne.
Hey, Damon. You look so reclined.
In our San Francisco office. Justin Davis.
Scoop.
And Mark Martino is here as well.
Hello? Okay, I should have checked if my mic was muted before this.
Well,
but it sounds all right.
We can hear you. And let me tell you, ladies and gentlemen, sometimes getting a podcast going with four people in four different locations can be a challenge. But here we are. We're up and running. And it's going to be a great show. We're going to talk about our most anticipated games of 2023. And there's a lot to talk about because everything from 2022 got delayed into 2023. It's time to check in on the Nintendo Seal of Quantity and look at all the lovely trash that's coming out on the Nintendo Switch this week. But first, let's share what we've been playing. I'll go first. And I've been playing Return to Monkey Island, which we reviewed this week. Ryan McCaffrey reviewed that for IGN. I think he gave it a 9 out of 10. He liked it very much, and I also like it very much. I'm having a lot of fun with it. It's very much in the same vein of the classic game, so if you played those, you should know exactly what to expect here. It's very witty, it's very funny. It's like dad jokes the game, which is fine for me. It is classic point-and-click adventure, so there's a lot of like busy work running back and forth. It's like, oh, I need to get this item. I remember where I saw that. I'll go back to get it. Oh, but I can't get it right now. There's another item I have to get so I can get it first. Well, I think I know where that is. I'll go over to this place. Nope, I can't get that straight away either. There's a whole thing I have to do to go get back to the original thing I wanted to do. And that's fine. That's not a criticism. I like that they've updated the game a lot, so you can zip around the whole island really fast just by walking. You can get anywhere you need to go in just a few seconds. There is one little hurdle that I have a hard time getting over, and that is that I really, really miss the old pixel art of the old games. I think that's like some of the, those like computer point-and-click adventures of that era from LucasArts, that and like Loom and, you know, Day of the Tentacle, all that stuff. I just think that's some of the coolest looking pixel art of all time. I really miss that stuff. So that's my one little caveat. Other than that, I'm very much enjoying it. Anyone else playing or plan to play Return to Monkey Island?
Yeah, I just got it. I'm looking forward to playing it. I think maybe one day you'll be able to say to an AI, hey, can you change this all into pixel graphics for me? And then it'll do it.
Yeah.
Which will be fun.
Yeah, that someday is going to be like next week.
I know.
Yep.
Yeah. Right. We're on the cusp. Because I was just reading about AI-generated video games this week. So,
Yeah. There. Yeah.
Oh, boy.
It's going to be an important step in game development. Does look fun. Are you playing it on Switch? I'm going to play it on Switch.
Yeah, I'm playing on Switch, yeah.
All right. Is it set on Monkey Island or is it a Monkey Island?
Well, that's the whole thing. Like, the games, they've never really discovered the secret of Monkey Island. And that's the premise of this game. He's finally going to go discover the secret of Monkey Island.
Nice.
Ooh.
You start out on the same island from the previous games, so it seems very familiar. But that's just the first chapter. And now I'm leaving and starting the second chapter. I'm on a ship. I'm going off to find Monkey Island.
I'd be so cool. Lost playing this game.
Well, Mark, it's funny you should say that, because there's a scrapbook feature that you access from the main menu where you can look back on the important events that happened in previous games.
Do you think that actually, like, did you go through that?
Yeah, I did. It doesn't.
Was it, like, take that helpful? Because that's why, like, that's what's, like, I feel like I would want to replay Monkey Island 1 and 2 before I did this. Although I did, whenever they came to Xbox, like whenever the updated HD versions came out 10 years ago, like I played them, but I feel like I would already need to play through them again. Mm. But, you know, if that scrapbook's like good enough or really good, like maybe I wouldn't need to.
Yeah, I thought it was helpful. And there's just a cool tutorial level, basically, at the beginning of the game that just sort of very cleverly teaches you the way the game works and stuff.
Nice.
It's good. Whenever they bring back, you know, a very old game and make a sequel to it, you know, it's never a sure thing that it's going to work out, but it did. Ron Gilbert's
back.
It's
so cool to see that Lucasfilm logo show up ahead of it, too.
I know.
Back to Lucas.
Yeah.
It's just one of those dream, like, you know, Ron Gilbert back making a Monkey Island game. It always felt like a long shot, and then it felt like an absolute impossibility when... You know, like when Disney bought Lucas, like they bought it for Star Wars, right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. But then like Monkey Island and these other weird adventure games just also kind of came along for the ride. We're like, okay, Disney, you own this now. And then it was like, just felt like it would be impossible for, like, you know, like, let's get this back in the hands of the creator and get the thing made. And so, you know, A, it's incredible that it exists. And B, you know, I think we're all lucky that it turned out pretty good.
Yeah. It turned out really well.
Heck yeah.
Anyway, that's what I'm playing. And Mark, is it true? Or have you been playing Mario plus Rabbids? Sparks of Hope?
I have been. Yeah, it's weird. You know, everybody on this panel, a lot of people, like, everyone knows that, like, preview events are a thing. And there are times where we've done previews that are, like, 10 minutes long, an hour maybe. I've played probably 10 hours of this game now.
Wow. Ooh.
It was a full 2-day preview event. I was there all day for 2 straight days, and I love it. I love the first one a lot. If you like strategy games, I think the first one, you know, was enough to draw you in. I think it's a weird premise, but once you try it out, you're like, okay, I get it. This is cool. It's, you know, Dan Stapleton reviewed it, so it's like, it looks super cartoony and stuff, but it's hardcore enough. This one makes the first game, Kingdom Battle, feel kind of like a prototype. Like, this game took everything that made that game great. Like, the team jumping's still there. You know, the cover-based strategy and stuff like that, that's all still there. But now it uses, like, a free movement. That actually doesn't change the game as much as you would probably think. But what does change it is that every character has, like, a very unique class. Which is something the first game didn't really have. They kind of each had their own abilities. This is like Luigi's a sniper, and Rabbit Peach can shoot over cover.
We always knew he was a sniper.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. And then just the structure of the world, like, it's not linear anymore. You get dropped into this open world, and you can go do side quests and just do all sorts of stuff. I really, really liked the game. I knew I would like it a little bit. But now I know that I like it a lot of bit. Also, I just want everyone to know that this game has difficulty options, which is something that is not very commonplace in games like this, to the point where you can make your characters just invincible if you want. So, like, cool. I plan on, like, getting to that 3/4 of the way through the game where I'm like, okay, well, you're going on easy now because this is really hard. So, but yeah, I like it a lot. Well, and I can't wait to play more of it and have to start over and play those 10 hours again.
In 10 hours, do you have an idea of, like, how many battles you were able to get through?
So the game is split up into worlds.
Okay.
And we only got to play through the second world. And then I played the entire first world again. I don't want to say, like, how many worlds there are and stuff for people that may not want to know. But I would say, like, I got almost halfway done with the game if I was just blasting through it.
There's like a Rosalina introduction to this and kind of a theme where I'm seeing, like, mm-hmm. planets and space. Are the worlds, like, loosely galaxy based? Is there some kind of galaxy DNA in this game?
Tons. So right when you start, because this game is not a sequel to Kingdom Battle, it is a follow-up. Like, the events of Kingdom Battle don't super matter. Mm-hmm. All you need to know is that the Rabbids and the Mushroom Kingdom people, they're friends. Cool. And it starts with a Luma falling on Mario's head, and it's a rabid Luma. And so their first, like, what sets you off is like, hey, the Lumas they appear to be in trouble, so that means something must be up with Rosalina. And again, I won't spoil it, but that is the premise, is you're starting off by going to find Rosalina. And yeah. But it also kind of feels like Sunshine as well, because the main bad guy in the game, her name's Cursa, she goes and, like, drops these, like, ink-like-looking things everywhere, and that's what disrupts everything. You'll just see, like, black puddles and stuff like that. So it's not like Sunshine where you, like, clean them, but, like, that is what's kind of, like, ravaging the world.
Well, that's great to hear. And the rest of us don't have to wait very long to play Mario plus Rabbids. Sparks of Hope, it's out October 20th, so it's just under a month away.
Yeah, I mean, like a lot of people, I liked the first game, played it, enjoyed it. But it's interesting. Like, I don't feel like it's one of those games where there's a clamoring from gamers and, like, a groundswell of, like, we need a sequel, we want more. Like, I feel like everyone was like, okay, that was good. And so I'm so happy to hear that they hit such a home run with it and really didn't, you know, didn't phone in the sequel, but really kind of built on what they built before.
It's been a while, right? Didn't the first one come out, like, the same year that the Switch launched, so 2017?
Nobody knows.
Nobody knows.
It was very early.
It's lost to time. Yep. That information just cannot be discovered.
Sam, Justin, are you playing anything of note?
I can go first. I'm playing The Outer Worlds.
That's right. That's so cool you're playing that now.
Yeah. It's great. I mean, I really love it. So the reason that I am playing it is because my Xbox hard drive was full and I sorted my games from biggest install size to smallest, and it was like 60 gigabytes, and I'm like, okay, let's go. But like, but then it turned out to be like really great. Yeah, like, if you don't know, it's a first person sort of sci-fi. It's very much in the vein of like Fallout, like the modern Fallout games. It's made by Obsidian. And what I like about it, so 10 years ago, every video game was this game. Like, you're walking around in a first person world and recruiting a party of people, and it's an action RPG. And then, you know, then you can skill check your way past challenges. Like, that's what video games were. But then, like, at some point, I guess I didn't even realize it happened, but like, taste changed and attitudes changed. And like, that's not really what video games are anymore. So it's like, it feels like old school. Yes, I'm using my speech skill to like skip this battle, and like that stuff was everywhere a while ago, and then just as quickly as it came, it kind of went away. And so it's a real breath of fresh air where like the game is not hard. Like, it's actually almost a little bit too easy, but it feels very breezy. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, the moral conundrums that are present in these games are kind of breezy, and you know, the companions, like, they have their pathos and like their problems that you're helping you solve, but none of them, like, my favorite one, and I think it's everybody, like, a fan favorite, is this woman named Pavarti. And like, her whole thing is that, you know, she has a girlfriend and wants you to help set her up with her girlfriend, and like, they like each other, and that's like, that's what the whole plot of like that character is. And like, it's just really cute and charming, and I'm really enjoying it a lot.
Yeah,
Pravati is great, voiced by Ashley Birch. She is awesome. Mm-hmm. I love Outer Wilds only because it's like,
it's not Outer Wilds.
Outer Worlds. Not only because it's like reminiscent of old Fallout, but specifically my favorite Fallout, which is New Vegas, because you know it's made by Obsidian. But also just like, it's so corporate heavy and like,
has
a lot of like, should we unionize undertones and stuff like that. I love that game.
It's very, it's like, it's legit a comedy.
Yeah.
And based off the trailer, the teaser trailer for 2, they're actually really leaning into that. Mm-hmm. It's basically like, and the Fallout games are already kind of silly and funny, but like, imagine Fallout, but in space, and like, you know, one third funnier and zanier than Fallout is. And that's kind of what Outer Worlds is. And I also like that it's not that long, which makes it, this is a little bit like mean, but that's like part of what makes it like a perfect Game Pass game. Mm-hmm. Is like, it's not 150 hours. It's like 15, 20 hours long. I think I'll probably beat it tonight. I'm right at the end. And like, it's great. Really great game. Highly recommended.
Agreed. Sam?
Okay. So I I feel like I'm probably just going to go home tonight and load up Trombone Champ on my Steam Deck and see if I can get that up and running. Mm. I think that's important to report on, although mm-hmm. I think it will be like draw something and nobody will care next week, but we'll see. As I hear, it's very high quality, and of course the videos are very funny. But I don't think I have anything new to share that I'm playing, because if I'm spending any waking hour minute, it's watching freaking television, of which it is impossible to keep up on everything.
All of a sudden,
on
so
top
much
of
to
that, we got the dump of Andor episodes yesterday did not help. It's crazy.
Are they good? I haven't watched it yet.
Interesting choice of words.
Yeah. Are you not a fan?
I think it's supposed to be great. Right?
I haven't watched it.
Everyone says it's really good.
Yeah. I haven't watched it yet. Maybe tonight. I have one more episode of Cobra Kai.
I mean, I can't wait to watch Cobra Kai, right? And that's like already on the back burner. Tonight I'm definitely going to watch She-Hulk, cuz I've been loving that season. And so it's really hard it's really hard for me to look beyond that, and then there's already two Lord of the Rings episodes I need to still watch. And I just finished What We Do in the Shadows, which Rant had a great season run.
Yeah. Wait, is it over? When did it end?
I need to finish,
cuz I just watched it.
I think very recently.
Yeah, last week I think was the season finale.
Wait, hold on. Okay. So, dang, I don't want to spoil anything, but man.
Yeah, well,
I was watching the season finale. Sometimes I like to go into season finales prepared. I just watched an episode. I didn't realize that was the last bit.
Well,
but I guess now that
there's like fourth wall breaking about it too. Like they talk a little bit about nothing really ever seems to change here. Like what the this crisis, and then like, you know, in sitcom manner, everything does get kind of returned to a level of normal. But that show always has another twist.
Yeah. Now that I think about the ending of the episode, I'm like, okay, I guess I should have known that was like the finale. I'm like that with House of Dragon right now. House of Dragon, every bit of entertainment, TV, games, they are just filler for the next, to keep me busy until the next episode of House of Dragon.
That's
the only thing I care about
in
my life.
That's your favorite thing now? That's why I think it's kind of a bummer that they're doing time jump, and we're like, don't have those actors anymore. Like,
I'm not going to be able to stand it. I can't lose my.
I like those actors. I'm used to them.
Is it over? Like, is that next week?
I mean, they have to time jump them, because such horrible things happen to everybody that they have to make sure that they're not children anymore.
No, they've done plenty of horrible things to children on Game of Thrones.
It's true. Yep. It's true.
Circling back to Trombone Champ for a sec, my favorite thing, like, I thought it looked like a silly meme social media game, right? But then I learned that you collect these trombone cards that then you like sacrifice to demons to like unlock new trombones, and that there's actually like this undertone, or it's not even really an undertone, but just like the game has like horror elements, really bizarre
souls like undertone.
Yeah, the opening is just a Demon Souls opening.
Like the Demon Souls opening to the game, of like the really dramatic voiceover, and like the juxtaposition of that to how blatantly silly the game is just so like, that to me is what sends it over the top.
Is it a coincidence?
Games are art, man.
Is it a coincidence that they look like Miis?
They look so much like Miis.
Not a coincidence. It's a reference to Wii Music. Yeah, this whole thing is referential.
That makes sense. Okay. I haven't played it yet myself.
This episode of Game Scoop is brought to you by NordVPN. As Scoop Nation knows, your Omega Cops have been a little obsessed with a movie called Weekend at Bernie's lately. But as happens too often these days, it is difficult to find it streaming here in the U.S. That's where NordVPN comes in. With NordVPN, you can switch your virtual location to a more enlightened region where they appreciate the comic delights of Weekend at Bernie's. And it's not just for streaming movies and shows. Switching your virtual location can allow you to save money by purchasing flights, hotels, and subscriptions from other countries at a cheaper price. And you can do all this worry-free, as NordVPN threat protection features protect you from viruses, malware, and phishing sites. Best of all, NordVPN costs the price of a cup of coffee a month, and one account can be used on up to 6 devices. To get the best discount on your NordVPN plan, go to nordvpn.com/gamescoop. Our link will also give you 4 extra months on the 2-year plan. There's no risk with Nord's 30-day money-back guarantee. That's nordvpn.com/gamescoop. One in five Americans has learned a new language on their bucket list, or life backlog, if you will. If that's you, make 2024 the year you finally check it off the list with Babbel. Upgrade your personal skill set in 2024 with Babbel, the science-backed language learning app that actually works. Babbel's quick 10-minute lessons are handcrafted by over 200 language experts to help you start speaking a new language in as little as 3 weeks. Its tips and tools are approachable, accessible, rooted in real-life situations, and deliver with conversation-based teaching so you're ready to practice what you've learned in the real world. I have a trip to Mexico coming up, so I've been using Babbel to brush up on my Spanish. The courses are short and sweet, so I can do one whenever I have a few minutes to spare. And the words and phrases it teaches you are designed for practical, real-world use, like ordering at a restaurant or asking for directions. Babbel can even provide you feedback on your pronunciation with its speech recognition tech. And it's not just for Spanish. Babbel includes 14 different language courses, each backed by a 20-day money-back guarantee. Here's a special limited-time deal for Scoop Nation. Right now, get up to 60% off your Babbel subscription, only for our listeners, at babbel.com/gamescoop. Get up to 60% off at babbel.com/gamescoop, spelled BABBEL.com/gamescoop. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Time to check in with the Nintendo Seal of Quantity, which is your assurance that Nintendo will let absolutely anything be sold in the Nintendo eShop. No one is in charge over there. No one is keeping
you
track.
You break
of
it, we buy it, Nintendo yep. says.
That's right.
So Sam's laugh just got me.
Some highlights this week, coming to your Switch this week. Animals Transport Simulator, car driving and parking games, Real Zoo Park. Is a game.
What a
game. Here it is.
These keyword dumps are getting so great.
Yep.
We're looking at a screenshot here, and it's a game where you drive animals around from different farms. Just put the elephant in the back of your pickup.
Yeah. The sure suspension is completely even throughout.
Yeah.
I'm sure that's how that works.
Where do you want this elephant? Just put him anywhere.
A neighboring farm needs an elephant. That should set off red flags.
The back end isn't any lower than the front.
I know. Okay, here's the official description for Animals Transport Simulator Car Driving and Parking Games Real Zoo Park. Farm life has never been more exciting. It is your duty to collect animals from the farms and then deliver them to their destinations. A new idea for a new business. From now on, your main source of income will be transporting animals.
Oh.
That's it.
From now on. That seems like a threat.
Solves it.
This is published by Midnight Works. And this is not the only game that Midnight Works is delivering to Nintendo Switch owners this week. They also have Eagle Simulator, Bird Zoo Park, Flight Sky Pilot Driving. This is another
it just
one.
It just went on VidIQ.
Two games in 1 week.
I know. Eagle
Damon,
Simulator.
We need to do an extra test on these where you take one of those keywords. Both of these had the keyword zoo in them. Yeah. We need to search zoo and see if these do show up and they won.
I mean, that's a good idea. Here are the game features listed for Eagle Simulator, Bird Zoo Park, Flight Sky, Pilot Driving. 5 eagle to choose at your own, multiple scenes to fly, quickly changes of the weather.
Got it.
The feature.
Sure.
I do.
Look at the title. The title screen graphic has it all. Bird, zoo, park, flight, sky, pilot, driving.
That's what I was just going to point out, is that it's not just the eShop title, but it's actually in the title screen of the game.
I mean, that's the game.
I'm sure there's like a checklist that Nintendo gives them for the Seal of Quantity. And they're like, you got to say your full name on the title screen. And they're like, that's it, though.
Yeah, they're like, that's fine.
So, okay, the next game this week, I think they've combined two words into one name, so I don't know how it's supposed to be pronounced. Blobufo? I think they've taken blob and UFO. But put them together, would you pronounce this?
But that's Blob-ufo? It. That's
Blob-ufo.
That's the whole name. It doesn't have name. Zoo, driving,
Blob-ufo.
Pilot.
That's, yeah, I know. So they didn't.
This isn't SEO friendly at all.
I know.
Maybe we should add to this. It could be called Blob-ufo, maybe Spikes, Cave, Amoebas, Blue.
Driving.
Driving.
Here's the description.
Yeah, driving zoo.
Here's the description for Blob-ufo. Our character moves with the power splash from his weapon. Complete the levels in this space without hitting the enemies in thorns. Don't look easy, seriously hard. Do you think it would be easy to move through space and pass the creatures? No! That's the description.
It leaves nothing up to the imagination. Yeah. I want to find these things out for myself.
Here are the features. These are the features listed for Blobbyfoe. Different platformer gameplay. Different is misspelled. 15 completable challenging levels.
And then
enemies and galaxy. Okay. Those are the features.
I'm in it for the 5 uncompletable levels.
It's pretty sus that they call their levels completable.
Like, guys,
IGN says 97% completable.
But it also
features the back of the box quote, totally completable.
It also features enemies and galaxy.
I'm going to be honest, that makes me think that the levels are not completable. The fact that they specifically label them that way.
Yeah, it's because Mario, what's the Mario designer game called?
Miyamoto?
Mario Maker.
Oh, Mario
Maker. Mario Maker. Yes, Shigeru Miyamoto. No, Mario Maker at least has an extra set of rules where you have to be able to beat your own level. But there's way that Blobbyfoe's designers beat their own levels. They only beat 15 of them, and they're 15. Just turning over the rest to you.
Yeah. This next game, though, might be the biggest head-scratcher of them all. So this game is called Reasoning of Courage. And take a look at its eShop page.
Fantastic.
Reasoning for those listening,
of courage, yes, describe it, please.
It is chopsticks eating a bowl of sticky rice. Mm-hmm. Some of that rice is being held together by a little inari strip.
Mm-hmm.
Is that what this is called?
That's reasoning. Inari? Reasoning of courage.
Reasoning
now,
of courage.
Oh. This is it. This is all the text for the description.
Would you like me to describe the typeface for the logo of this game?
Yes, yes.
I believe Helvetica? It's Arial, no serifs. Yeah. Black.
It's also not centered. There's no blending.
Yeah. Reasoning of courage.
No, actually, I think you're right. I think it is more of a Helvetica because Arial would be too much flair for the unflavored rice game that we're looking at right now.
Is there any soy sauce on the rice?
No.
Nope.
And what are you, rich?
Behind there's just more seaweed, I think.
Yeah.
Okay, this is the entirety of the description for Reasoning of Courage. Boy, courage unravels the mysteries of everyday life. It is a short detective novel game. That's it.
Ooh.
That's a tweet.
Justin, clearly AI is already making video games.
Reasoning of Courage costs $1.50. And this is the best part. You know, on the eShop page, they always listed supported languages, and they list all the languages. Mm-hmm. I kid you not, supported languages, Japanese. This game can only be played in Japanese, and it's released in North America.
But they'll take my American money.
They'll take your American $1.50.
But the important thing is that the full title is on the title screen.
Reasoning.
Not in Japanese.
And that's it.
That's it.
I want someone, if anybody plays any of these games, like write in to GameScoop.
Yeah.
I want to hear.
Actually, if anyone is willing to spend the $1.50 to play and review Reasoning of Courage, we'll share your review here on GameScoop.
Maybe they meant Seasoning of Courage because it's plain white rice.
Yeah. I was thinking that too.
Do you have the courage to season this rice?
Yeah, in this great mystery of why would you eat this? Damon, there were other screenshots, right?
Yeah, I don't know if Marian can back out, but yeah, it looks like you're viewing a city and there's just Japanese text at the bottom of the screen because it's like a detective novel.
Well, surely how am I going to get my keywords without seeing it? Let's see it. Yeah. Okay, so we got city, desk, ocean, Ferris wheel, grass, park, zoo.
At least one out of every, 20 of these games has got to be okay, right?
That school doesn't look bad.
Well, what's interesting is that the school does not look bad. These
literally
are all,
nothing on the chalkboard.
These are all really static images, right? So really what you could do is you could use one of the new AI toolkits to say anime style empty nothing on chalkboard. And then you'd have half of your game made already.
This looks like Doki Doki Literature Club. Like a character could pop up in front of the screen there. Like it could, you know.
Huh? If that happens, they might have wanted to use one of those screenshots instead.
That's too much seasoning, Mark. That's too much seasoning.
Way too much.
Too much reasoning. Okay, and these are just game titles coming out this week, just the titles I like. I did no research into whether or not you would consider these shovelware. These are just good titles. So we got, I love the SEO play on this one, Game of Dragons.
Oh smart. Nice. Smart.
Game of Dragons.
Brilliant.
This one's for Sam. Car Mechanic Pinball. Car Mechanic Pinball. I don't know.
Well,
if
those
it's
things do a have a lot
machine
in
with a. Yeah. I don't know if it's a pinball machine with a car mechanic theme, or are there car mechanics play, or a pinball
playing
game
the pinball.
I don't know. Yeah,
or maybe
it's a pinball
you're
machine
a pinball
in a mechanic shop.
This
yeah,
one
maybe
actually,
you're an anthropomorphic pinball that works on cars.
Maybe. Mm. Yeah.
Too much seasoning.
This is a good one. Cthulhu Pub.
Ooh. That's my second favorite kind of pub.
I know. This one's a real game. This is Clap Hands. This is Easy Come, Easy Golf. That's just the new, the Everybody's Golf guys doing that one.
That's okay, good. They're all real games.
So many things just...
Wait, what's the matter?
Move on.
Just Easy Come, Easy Golf.
That's good.
Like, yeah, but if you were to say, like, if you were to list 10 game names and say one of these is fake, all of us would have voted for that one.
Well,
it's the real name of the new game from the Everybody's Golf people.
I'm just saying it sounds like a Tinder date. That's all I'm going to say.
Well,
moving on.
This one sounds, yeah, this one's.
That takes the courage of reasoning, Mark.
This one's for After Hours. Pretty Boys Mahjong Solitaire. And can I just say, it's about time. Pretty Boys Mahjong Solitaire.
Yeah, you're right.
This one I like.
Finally, a game for you.
This one, Potion Permit.
Oh.
Sir. Sir. Do you have a permit? Do you have a permit for that potion?
You have to tell me if you're a cop.
He went through the legal steps to carry that potion.
Cube 10th Anniversary, and I only included this because Cube is spelled with a Q, just like Intelligent Cube. From last week.
Ooh, mm-hmm. Is that what it is?
No, it's not. It looks like a Portal. Oh. It looks like a Portal knockoff. This is a good title, and I think this one is in on the joke. Space Raiders in Space. And then finally, last one, Spider Heck. Spider Heck. I thought it was pretty good. As far as I can tell, it's a one-on-one fighting game featuring spiders with lightsabers.
Okay, so that does sound like a veritable spider heck. However, I'm wondering if you can't use the HE double hockey sticks as a swear in a game name, but then I considered the beautiful Mahjong voice, and I just don't know anymore.
And
it's
also
like
remember,
they got stuck in cert for that title.
Yeah,
like,
I'm pretty
right,
sure
we'll
you
just
can
do
say, I'm sure there's games with hell in the title in the Nintendo eShop. There's a game called Hentai versus Zombies in the eShop.
Yeah, but is it on the title screen? Then it's okay.
Okay, that was a Nintendo Seal of Quantity.
No, I don't want it to end. It's my favorite.
I know.
Yeah. Just keep. I just want to have these game titles washing over me for the next hour.
Don't worry, you're only ever 1 week away from the next Nintendo Seal of Quantity. Okay, let's gaze our eyes forward a little bit, and let's check in with the listeners.
Hey, listeners.
Listeners, remember, you can always reach us at the email address, gamescoop@IGN.com. Just like Joe from Brigantine. There it is. Hell Pie. Ryan found an eShop game with Hell in the title.
There it is.
Just Hell Pie. Well,
they said it couldn't be done.
Sorry,
I mean,
Joe.
I think Heck Pie would have converted. Just go after
them. Spider Heck.
Get us out of here.
Every listener named Joe is like on the edge of their seat. Is it me? This is Joe from Brigantine, New Jersey. Says, as a 39-year-old relatively new father, my gaming time has dropped drastically over the last 14 months. While I'm fully prepared to miss out on some games in the stacked year that is 2023, the two games at the top of my list are Tears of the Kingdom and Starfield. It looked like everything was going to work out well, with Starfield originally coming out in November this year and Zelda with a vague release of spring 23. But with the Starfield delay and Zelda's release date of May 12th, I'm now worried that the games will come out too close together, and I will have to either bounce back and forth between them or put one on the digital shelf while devoting my limited time to the other. My two questions are, how do you think the Tears of the Kingdom release date will affect the Starfield date, and what games are you going to give priority to next year? So yeah, we know Tears of the Kingdom is what? May 12th, I think. Starfield, we just know that when they showed it last in what, May of last year, all the games showing were supposed to be out within the next 12 months. So it should be out in the first half of 2023.
A video game developer would never lie about something like that, would they?
I don't imagine Starfield coming out before fall of next year.
That's what I was getting to as well.
Do you think Tears of the Kingdom will make it out on May 12th?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. You feel
confident? Yeah, I think Starfield, they should Starfield, you know, at E3 or whatever E3 was, Summer of Gaming. And that game got a lot of feedback. And it's stuff that I feel like Bethesda would be looking at. So, you know, it was supposed to be 11/11, but then they pushed it back to just next year. I think Redfall will end up being their, like, early next year game. And I can imagine a world where Starfield's just going to get pushed to be their big fall game.
That's totally just like a gut check, but that's my gut check as well.
I'm trying to think what date would they want to look for, because they had 11/11/22, but what date would they have for next year? I don't even know.
Just go for it. That's the Bethesda date.
Are there any?
Maybe. I mean, 2023 next year, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe it'll do 3/23/23.
Okay, so March. Like I like that. Yeah. Cool dates. Yeah, so March 23rd, 2023. That's good. I think they should do that, actually.
My advice would be for them to get that game out a month clearance in Breath of the Wild, because if that game comes out in May at the same time as Breath of the Wild, I think people will talk about Breath of the Wild in the zeitgeist more than Starfield, which is bad for it. And I say that because subsequent years after Animal Crossing, everybody got a Switch, and there's a lot of those out there. And I think it's still hard to get a system that's going to play Starfield. I mean, I guess you can play it on your old systems, right? Is that right? Can you play on old systems?
No, it's Series X only.
Yeah, so
Series X and PC. Sorry, every commenter's going wild right now.
And there's plenty of PC people. I know people. I'm not talking about the GameScoop audience, really. I'm talking about everyone else, because the game that a lot of people I know that got Animal Crossing, where they went to after Animal Crossing was Breath of the Wild, like, surprisingly so. And I think it's a game with a lot of wide appeal that will be in the zeitgeist that month, and I wouldn't want to go up against it.
Yeah, that's interesting. Like, it's tough to, like, yes, but kids also too. Starfield is something kind of brand new, whereas Tears of the Kingdom is... You know, we've seen the open world thing, right? Like, it is a little bit more of an evolution of what we've seen before, so.
Yeah, and I'll add that, like, 6-year-olds play this game, they don't play Starfield.
Hmm. True. Yeah, Starfield
I don't know. Call of Duty, though.
I'm very excited for it, but I agree that, like, it seems like when a Nintendo game comes out, it becomes this, like, Twitter, like, kind of sharing zeitgeist, where, like, everybody's playing it, everybody's sharing screenshots. And while I would hope that Starfield is that same deal, you know, it just, Nintendo games just seem to become an event. So I agree.
Look, Starfield was a little bit rough around the edges when they showed it off, which is doubly odd considering you have complete control over, like, exactly what you're showing off to people. But, like, this is the team that made Skyrim and then, you know, and then Fallout 76, like, which was, you know, not super well received. So it's like, the return of, like, the big single player, just massive sort of PC style, like, Western style RPG, like, there's no way it's not going to blow the doors off and be just the biggest thing on earth whenever it comes out. Like, unless it's some cyberpunk style, like, oh my God, like, you know, like, what a shit show. But I just, I think people are sort of selling Bethesda a little short.
Yeah.
I hope so.
I mean, Bethesda is my favorite game studio. I know that Fallout 76 tarnished their name a lot, but, like, that game is in weird control now. You know, like, a lot of people helped develop that from Bethesda Game Studios, but, like, now it's, like, you know, it's kind of in this, like, own, like, little thing. And so it's, like, I don't know. Yeah. I'm very excited. Yeah, it is their first, like, major game since Fallout 4. So I'm very excited.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, my bad. Yeah, I forgot about Fallout 4 there for a second. But, yeah.
Is Fallout 4 in a good place? Because I know a lot of people were... There were mixed feelings about that one at launch, too.
Well, let me just say this. There's a difference between Fallout 4 Fallout 76, and Skyrim. Skyrim is a very, very different phenomenon, and I don't think they're going for more of a Fallout 4 than a Skyrim for this game. I don't get the sense that it's going to be this like goofy moddable open world game, because it just isn't. It's like a go to planets game, which is like inherently different. Like, I think a contiguous map is super important for people playing these games right now, and I still, it's funny, like Outer Worlds is a good example of this. I still haven't played a game that doesn't feel like smaller because it's on multiple worlds. That's what Metroid Prime 3 felt like too.
Yeah, it is pretty interesting that one world feels bigger than several worlds.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's that GTA effect. I don't know why it's like that, but Northern California or Southern California feels bigger than, you know, any fantasy.
Yeah, Outer Worlds definitely has that, like each map, each world is like a little zone, and I when I think of that game, I think about how small it is, but I know it's, you know, it's kind of smaller than like Fallout games. The thing that has me worried about Starfield is just like the proceduralness of it. We still don't know what that looks like, but it's like 1,000 planets. That does not excite me at all. So
I think that's really, I nerd out over the, like the planet exploration side of Starfield. Like, I'm personally most interested in that and flying around and stuff like that. But that's like the stuff I like. That's not mass appeal stuff. So when you actually have to put it up against other games, like, it's gonna have to have like a serious hook. I mean, Fallout's not even a mass appeal game. Skyrim is. So what's going on with that, right? Witcher is.
Important updates. I've got some breaking scoops. There's a palindrome date in 2023. March 20th, 2023 is 3202023.
Nice, well done.
So someone should take that date. And there's also going to be two Fridays the 13th next year, January 13th and October 13th.
I mean, an October Friday the 13th, that's a good one. Is like, somebody's got to use that one. Please don't delay Resident Evil 4 to that, though. Hear me out. Just put that game
out. What other Dead Space is in January? What other horror games that we know of? Alan Wake 2, where they put Alan Wake 2 on an October Friday the 13th?
I think we all know it's just Bloodborne 2, right?
Sure.
Oh yeah. Cool. I mean, we knew that off the record. I'll have to edit that out. But there's also going to be a solar eclipse on October 14th next year. So that's.
Whoa. I mean, it's a busy October. Right after Friday the 13th, there's an eclipse.
Yeah, that sounds like Dead Space stuff.
It's gonna be a great Halloween.
Yeah. Okay. Other 2023 games that we know of. There are several games that have a date. Dead Space is January 27th. Let's see. Of you three, Justin probably be most interested in Darkest Dungeon 2. That's coming in. They've said February. They haven't given it a date.
Yeah, I've cooled on early access games. Yeah. Like, I used to think that was one of the coolest things in gaming, but then it's like, you know, you played something for 20 or 30 hours and they'd be like, it's all different now. And I'm like, well, okay, but I don't want to do it again. And so I didn't play Darkest Dungeon 2's early access.
Neither did I.
It really will feel like a launch for me. But, you know, I think a lot of people have already spent many hours with the game because it's been in early access for so long.
Yeah. And I hope it turns out well. I love the first one. And then Rogue Legacy 2 kind of did the same thing. It was in early access for a year or more. And then the final version was very, very good.
Well, and I know people didn't love the early access take on Darkest Dungeon 2. So I hope it's an example of like early access at its best, right? Like they get a chance to sort of incorporate that feedback and then come back with a real, you know, a real banger like the first game was.
Yeah, here's hoping.
That's kind of how I feel about Grounded right now. Is like I played that game so much that now it comes out next week and I'm like, oh, yeah, I probably won't jump back in. So I played it so much, you know.
Then, of course, Resident Evil 4 is in March. Zelda is in May 12th. And then Mina the Hollower, they've said December. Mm-hmm. Targeting December for that one. And that's the next full game from the from Yacht Club Games and the Shovel Knight crew.
Yeah.
What? When was this announced? I've never swore. We talked about this. Yeah. We talked about this on Scoop. I remember. It's coming back to me now.
This is the Link's Awakening.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Okay, I remember now. I legit forgot it existed. Holy crap. Yeah, I'm excited.
There's a Shovel Knight game out this week, right?
Yeah, Shovel Knight Dig comes out tomorrow. Or I guess if this airs tomorrow, then it came out today. Congrats.
That was on something. Was that on? That already launched, right? I've played that. Dig? Is it launching on a new platform? Which one's Dig? I'm gonna look it up.
No, Dig is new.
Dig is a roguelike. We just reviewed it
today. Oh. I was thinking of the pocket one.
Yeah, I've been playing Pocket Dungeon. It is a little confusing to me as well, the way that Shovel Knight has sprawled into all these different games.
Yep. I was talking to their PR about doing a devs react for Dig, and I was like, I hate to ask this, I'm sorry, but like, is this new? Because like, there's so many Shovel Knight things now that it's really hard to keep up.
But I think Shovel Knight Dig is like a SteamWorld.
Yeah,
Dig.
It's a like? Vertical. It's a vertical platformer where you drop a lot. So like,
yeah.
Wow, like dude. Board. Nothing would make me happier than that becoming like a legit, like, you know, a Mr. Driller like or a SteamWorld Dig like. Let's just have that take off, please. Yeah. I've played a few games like that.
There's a lot coming next year. Those are the only games that have a date or a window. What else, Mark? What else are you sort of looking forward to for next year?
Redfall. That game looks awesome.
And that game looks cool.
Yeah, I'm a big State of Decay 2 fan. And this game is, I will admit, Arcane games I have a lot of trouble getting like into them.
Really?
I'm really trying with Deathloop right now.
You didn't dig Dishonored or Dishonored 2?
No, no. I've tried. There's something about them. I just can't get into it. And it's happening with Deathloop because it just came to Xbox and it just got the new version on PlayStation as well. And I'm just like, this just isn't appealing to me. So I'm worried about Redfall in that sense, but. It looks a lot like State of Decay 2, and so I'm excited to play it.
you're guessing that one will be in the earlier in the year.
Yeah, so Redfall and Starfield were both supposed to come out this year, and they both got delayed. It looks, and Redfall is supposed to be like, you know, early spring or whatever, and I think that one is more likely to hit than Starfield will.
Well, there'll be a new Assassin's Creed next year. Mirage, is that the one?
Yeah.
Is that the one that's supposed? It's also hard to keep all the new Assassin's Creed games straight. Is this the one that's supposed to go back to a little bit more of the stealth
that's
origins
the one.
Of the series? Okay. Well, then I'll be interested in that. Diablo 4, anyone?
Yes, very much.
Yes. Is that announced for platforms other than PC?
Yep.
Do we know for now?
Everything. It's even coming to PS4 and Xbox One, apparently.
I did the PC gaming thing happened to me where I had such a cutting edge dope ass PC and now it's old. And so I'm back to like not being equipped. Like, this is a solvable problem. I can get a GPU and I don't know what else I would need. But like, you know, I don't know. It's just sad. Like, slowly and steadily, I think Cyberpunk is the first game that I like put into my gaming PC where I'm like, I don't know, this thing can't quite keep up. And then it just starts to feel old quickly.
Mm-hmm.
Sam, Flashback 2 is coming next year, supposedly.
Ooh.
I forgot about that game.
Well, yeah, and then I mean, Justin.
I don't think Flashback 1 is fun. So, you know, it looked amazing.
we haven't seen the sequel yet because remember their trailer was just like, it was like kind of incomprehensible. They didn't actually just show us gameplay.
Yeah.
Justin, is the video game version of Gloomhaven launching next year?
Yeah. And well, no, it's out. It's out now.
Oh, it's coming to consoles next year.
I think it's free on Epic Game Store right now, actually. And, you know, obviously I haven't played it on console, but the PC port's really great. A different strategy RPG, maybe you're already going to name this, Damon, but Advance Wars Reboot Camp, Advance Wars 1 and 2 Reboot Camp.
Yeah, but like it hasn't been given a new release window. Mm-hmm. It's crazy.
Crazy.
No, I think it was delayed not for game reasons, but for real world reasons. Like, some of the armies in the game are very blatantly takes on, like, you know, the Russian army and some other stuff like that. And so I think that Nintendo held it for kind of sensitivity reasons more so than issues in the game. So hopefully they feel, you know, fit to release the game. It would be a shame if it just never saw the light of day.
I know. I've been excited for that one. Did you guys know there's
Sons of the Forest 2 on your list?
We're in the L's right now, Mark.
That's sorry. Sorry. I did not realize we were doing alphabetical order.
Did you guys know there's a co-op survival Lord of the Rings game coming?
What?
Nope. Lord of the Rings Return to Moria.
What?
Oh, I remember when that was announced. I didn't know it was a co-op survival game then.
Yeah. Oh, and then I guess also Lord of the Rings Gollum got pushed to next year, right?
Yeah, there's still no Gollum.
Yep.
Here is a very interesting one. Marvel's Spider-Man 2. because we don't know, Mark, we don't, after God of War Ragnarok, we don't know what the next PlayStation exclusive is, do we?
That's it. Like, yeah,
you think that'll be it?
No. Yeah, that's it. PlayStation 5's over. Just start getting hyped.
No, I mean, do you think Marvel's Spider-Man 2 will be the next PlayStation exclusive after God of War Ragnarok?
It's hard because, like, I still feel it deep in my bones that there's a PlayStation showcase this year that's got to show us, like, what's coming, because it's like Blue Point's working on something and Team Asobi's working, yeah. Or not Team Asobi. Is it Team Asobi? The Astrobot people.
Yeah,
okay. I don't know why. I see. Anyways, but then yeah, the one that looks furthest along would be Spider-Man 2. Hmm.
It's a little bit like I would need to take stock of what Sony Studios, like what you know, what was their last project and what's announced and what's unannounced. Like, I think a lot of those teams are probably tied up in PSVR 2 projects.
Maybe. Like, we know Sucker Punch is working on the next Ghost of Tsushima, but that was 2020. So, like, you know, we still got a little bit for that. And then, I don't know. They've shown most of Spider-Man 2. They've shown almost nothing of Wolverine. So it makes me think that Spider-Man 2 is next.
And then that KOTOR remake is...
2025.
Yeah.
Or at the earliest.
It wasn't on your L's because it's you know, unclear how I think it'll be released, but there's Last of Us multiplayer coming next year, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, factions.
Yeah. Yeah. There's Pikmin 4, which we talked about last week for Nintendo.
Woo! Mm-hmm.
That's a good one. Me and a couple other people are excited for Metal Slug Tactics. Been waiting for that one for a long time.
Oh yeah,
I didn't know. Damn, that was the thing.
Cool. That jogged my memory. Damn it, are they still, are like Disgaea games still a thing? Are they still making those?
What games?
Disgaea.
Yeah, that's the other.
Yeah, there was just one announced, right?
Disgaea 7 is coming in January. However, they just changed up the art style, so it's not like it's not 2D hand drawn anymore. It's like 3D. Polygons, and I don't think it looks as
cool.
Whoa,
really? Yeah. What a bad choice.
I know, yikes. I know. It's a bummer for me. There's Stalker 2, Heart of Chernobyl, which is another one that got delayed because of the war.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then, I forgot about Star Wars Jedi Survivor.
Yeah.
That'll
be a big one.
Hopefully earlier in the year.
I feel like, is anyone else concerned? I just feel like it's becoming impossible to like make and release a video game. Like, I don't know if it's like lingering effects, like if we're still feeling like games take a long time to make, right? Uh-huh. So, and it was severely disrupted for 2 years. So maybe you can chalk it all up to that. Or like, I just definitely have a concern where like, it used to be like delays were the exception and not the norm. And now it just feels like it's almost impossible for a game to come out, you know,
Gotham
on time and on budget.
Gotham Knights and High on Life both got moved up, so have heart. They have earlier release dates than later, which is crazy.
That's true. Well, speaking of Gotham Knights, Suicide Squad Kill the Justice League is supposed to come next year. And that one we haven't seen a little bit of, right?
Yeah, well, but what type of game is it? It's hard to tell.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it's Rocksteady, so you would think it's like kind of that style, like the Arkham style.
I mean, if it's Kill the Justice League with Nemesis mode... and a bunch of heroes that you have to kill. I mean, that's going to be the best game ever made, but will they have the courage of seasoning to make that game? Because I don't think you can actually hurt Superman in video games. Like, I play DC, what's it called? DC versus Mortal Kombat? Is that what it was called? MK versus DC. And in that, like, the superheroes couldn't actually kill people. They could only perform a heroic brutality. So there's limits on what you can do. There was in the style book for heroes. And
yeah,
I don't know what they're gonna do. Although Batman's dead in this Gotham game, so who knows?
Well, speaking of fighting games, there is Street Fighter VI, which I'm not a Street Fighter guy, but I'm actually interested in that one. Any good fighting game that has a cool single player mode, I'd be interested in checking out. Like Mortal Kombat.
This one is a character designer for its single player mode, which is just so wild.
It's very, very cool. Man, what else? That's about it. I'm at the end of my list. Anything else that you guys are excited for and anticipating for next year?
Yeah, Final Sons Fantasy of the Forest. 16.
Okay, Sons of the Forest.
You were Final so Fantasy, rude that's... to Mark saying I'm only on the L's, Mark.
Well, listen
you
up.
Didn't list it.
Well, it's not even on the list.
Exactly.
So I'm, but this isn't a list that I made. I'm just saying, is this game actually coming next year? What makes you think this?
Yeah,
game
it
is
has
coming?
It has a release date.
Oh, it's, that's why it's not on my list.
Yeah,
it's in February.
Yeah, and then Hogwarts Legacy is in March.
Oh yeah, but I don't care about that game, so
I'm not excited about that game. So
that's why I didn't mention it.
There's two Final Fantasies, right? There's 16.
Oh yeah, and then I did forget the Final Fantasies. Final Fantasy 16 is supposed to be in the summer. Final Fantasy 7 Rebirth is in like winter. Yeah, those are very big ones. Sorry, did not mean to forget those. There's also Dead Island 2, just not really interesting to me personally.
Avatar: Frontiers of Pandora.
Also don't care.
Open world Ubisoft game.
Also don't care.
Maybe after
why would we want to list any game that Damon doesn't care about?
It's up to you guys. I listed the games.
Damon, maybe after you see the Avatar remake in theaters and then the sequel in theaters, you'll be more excited to play.
Considering going and because I haven't seen the first one in like forever, and I've watched.
You've seen the first one?
I've seen the first one.
So you haven't seen Gremlins, but you've seen Avatar.
They were on to something there. They're like, Mark has seen Gremlins? And I was like, I don't know what I'm referencing.
Yeah, Mark made a reference in our group chat on don't feed them after midnight or something like that, or something about feeding. Mm-hmm. He was like, Mark's seen Gremlins. And he's like, I don't even know what you're talking about.
I was like, I don't even know what I'm referencing.
Yeah.
You had me.
Do you think the world is really going to get gripped by Avatar fever again? Is that going to happen?
What do you mean again?
It was the biggest thing on Earth.
It's true.
And then we all had collective amnesia, and we're like, oh, no, none of us really cared about Avatar. But it took over.
When Avatar came out, it was like all anyone was talking about. Yeah.
The biggest movie of all time was Avatar.
But nobody liked it. That was the issue, right?
And they did at the time. At the time, they were just they were like hypnotized by the 3D effects.
Yes. Yeah. And then everyone, 3 months later, was like, oh, that was weird.
Yeah.
Well, because then people were just like, this is just Pocahontas. This is,
That's a good movie.
Now it's like, now I don't, is it going to happen again?
And then,
I don't know. The world has only gotten dumber.
Okay. I wasn't working in the office. I think that was the year before or something. Were you in the office then, Damon?
Yep. Yeah.
So you heard a bunch of people that were like, this 3D movie is the best thing I've ever seen. I only heard people being like, are you kidding me? This is worse than Phantom Menace.
I'd have to search it. I'd have to look it up. We wrote articles about people that were having withdrawal after they saw, they wanted to live and experience that world so badly that they were depressed after they watched the movie. It's really sad.
When did that movie come out? I don't even know.
2008, I want to say.
Nobody knows.
2008.
It's lost to time.
Yeah.
Yes.
To me, I felt like I was on
2005.
Crazy pills.
It's not 2005. I remember watching it in my first apartment I ever had when I first moved out, right out of high school.
The biggest movie ever. What are the characters' names? What's the movie about? Who
Sully
are the actors? Nobody knows!
And Zoe Saldana.
Yeah.
It was 2009. So I was working for IGN then, but not quite in the office yet.
The Na'vi...
It's crazy.
The Na'vi looks so stupid to me. And it's like, if Avatar 2 might have an amazing story, but nothing will change the fact that those things just look incredibly stupid. I can't get it.
Hey,
Damon,
they're aliens, and that's insensitive.
Yeah,
they think we're the ones that look stupid.
That's fair.
What about that alien in Star Wars, A New Hope, that's just clearly just a fly costume that they got from a horror movie? Is he stupid?
That's like every... that's like every alien in the cantina.
Yeah, there's one that's just a mummy. He's just wrapped in bandages.
He's just a wolf man.
I'm 3 episodes into Light and Magic, and it's one of the best things I've watched all year. I kept on trying to put it on the background to do stuff while I'm doing other things. I'm just riveted.
Yep, I told you.
They filmed everything at the time.
I know.
It's crazy.
Everything was on a camera. But
yeah.
Even then, in 78, 79, George Lucas saw computer graphics and he was like, I want that.
They show that in 1978, this is relevant to the Scoop audience, they go to a college in Salt Lake City in Utah, and they're talking to this guy. Well, they talk to some people about computer graphics, but they have footage of a person at this college showing off a polygon render of a chalice. And you're like, oh, so that's what they had for computer graphics back then. That's pretty cool. And then he does a layer pass. He's like, these are called pixels. They're filling in the polygon. And he's that's like, amazing. This is what a pixel is. He kind of explains it. And then he starts rotating it. It's kind of like a blocky chalice. And then he just goes full on and layers it with a smooth rendering with light shining off of it. And then the full texture of the chalice. basically what a video game looked like by 2000.
I was going to say.
In 1978.
Like, it looks better than the first 3D video games 15 years
100%.
Later. 100%. It's crazy.
In 1978. And, like, George Lucas was like, I think we should make movies based on this. And then, like, that's how we got Jurassic Park. I mean, there was, like... Like, in 10 years later, which is, like, unbelievable. Like, that's, like, the biggest technological leap. I just can't believe it.
Yeah. It reminded me that, like, George Lucas, you know, you can make a lot of criticisms about the choices he's made in his filmmaking, but the dude is a visionary. Unquestionably is a visionary.
And everybody that worked in his costume shops were all their own visionaries. They all were, like, crazy talented people. Costumes. I said costume shop, whatever. Effects shop. There is also, in the middle of all this, like, high-tech stuff, he's like... Oh, I really think this should be stop motion. Do we have a stop motion guy? And then they like show it. They're like, look how amazing this still looks. And it looks like total crap. It's like, you know, those tauntauns, you can't really suspend disbelief anymore. It's just like, it's like you can see every frame, you know. It's like, wow.
They're
like,
herking and jerking all over the screen.
That's really only a 1 foot toy with a figure without a face on it? Oh, wow.
Well, I watched Return of the Jedi recently, and the Rancor still looks really, really good, I think.
Yeah, they smooth things out by then.
Yeah.
But then they show like King Kong, like I can't believe how great this movie looks. But obviously, it just looks like that. You know?
Yeah. Have you gotten to the episode where they talk about Poltergeist?
No, I don't like that movie though.
Well, that's a great movie, but there's
the
a really
TV
good.
The TV is too spooky.
They explain how they implode the house at the end of the movie, and it's amazing to me.
Oh, weird.
Yeah, it's really good.
Just every time I see a camera shooting a spaceship backwards by like basically throwing the camera at a model of the Millennium Falcon.
Oh, and the way they did
it looks
the
exactly
shot
like a toy
of the Millennium Falcon zooming away, like just it was just a Polaroid. It's crazy. It's so
unbelievable. So smart.
Okay.
Spin.
Enough of that. That brings us to Video Game 20 Questions. Our suggestion this week comes from Nick Hodgson in Johannesburg, South Africa.
Cool.
Let the questioning begin.
Did this game come out in the after the year 2000? After the year 1999, from the year 2000 to now? In any time in the 2000s. I'm not trying to make it weird.
I will say this. Not originally.
Can you wipe the smile off my face?
Yeah.
I don't understand. Maybe it's Metal Gear Solid's remake on GameCube.
Dude, if that's it and you got it on the first one, that would be amazing.
Well, it happens sometimes.
That's what happened last week.
Really?
Sometimes.
It's always when I'm not here because I'm bad luck.
Is this game some kind of remake or reboot?
Well, it got
not the original.
Not the original, but I mean, this game has gotten one of those.
Okay.
Got it.
Was this game made by a Japanese developer?
Yes.
Oh.
Is it a platform exclusive?
Yes.
For the PlayStation?
PlayStation?
No.
Are we asking that? Is that?
No. That's five.
It's all not right. PlayStation. All right.
We're out. Is it Nintendo?
Yes.
Okay. There's not many Rare remakes.
Wait a minute.
Yeah.
Was it developed by Rare?
Hold on. Go ahead.
What? Yeah. Why?
I like it.
Are they Japanese?
That's why I was saying hold on. But
yeah, my bad.
Yeah.
Okay, wait. Sorry. We were jumping all around. So it's a platform exclusive to a Nintendo platform made in Japan. Is that what we know?
Yeah.
And it got a reboot or remake.
Is that correct, Damon?
Oh. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think that's where we're at. Okay. Let's see.
Was this originally an N64 game?
Was it originally a Nintendo 64 game? No.
Was it originally an NES game?
No.
So Super Nintendo. Thinking,
remember the 3D versions of Urban Champion and stuff like that?
Because GameCube came out in 2000.
Yeah, it can't be GameCube, but it could still be Game Boy. What was it originally a Super Nintendo game?
No.
What? Okay, so
was it originally an arcade game?
No, that's 10.
What did you just ask?
It could be Link's Awakening. Game. Oh, sorry.
Yeah, I think it's probably Pokemon Red and Blue.
Oh, could be.
Well, that or Link's Awakening. Those are all good
answers. Yeah. Okay, what's the best way? Was this originally an OG Game Boy game?
Yes.
So that eliminates Pokemon.
Is this part of the Zelda series?
Yes.
Yeah, we got it. We got it.
There is no other Zelda game on the OG Game Boy, if you don't count the Game Boy Color. So yeah, it's got to be Link's Awakening.
Oh yeah, and I was wrong. Pokemon is not a Game Boy Color game. That's just a Game Boy game that has a colored cartridge.
Yeah, red and blue and yellow.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, oh yeah. All right. So yeah, you want to do the honors, Mark?
This one. Well, should we ask one more qualifying thing? Because this is terrifying.
Nah.
Does this game have Kirby in it?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay. Yeah, okay. Is this game Zelda Link's Awakening?
Yes, it is. Yes, Yay. It is. 14 questions. Yeah, originally released on Game Boy, then a version 4 Game Boy Color with a color dungeon.
Yeah.
And then, of course, on the Switch in 2019. Mm-hmm. Which I never finished the Switch version. I need to go back to that. I should have been doing that these past weeks.
I do not love the Switch version because the version of that game that's canon in my mind is, you know, knowing the screens and when they scroll and what you get when you scroll to the next screen. Because this is my first video game of all time. Is this and like Kirby's Dream Land? Because I only had a Game Boy up until I had like a PS2, and so this with the non-scrolling screens, it didn't hit me as much as I wish it would have.
Yeah.
I like just want somebody to write in with a correction to say what the name of the Zelda enemy is that looks like Kirby.
Oh, yeah. I don't know what
so
it is.
So Kirby's not actually in the game.
I thought you were referencing the Claw game. Oh, that's Yoshi.
That's Yoshi.
You can get him from the Claw game.
Chain Chomp, Yoshi. Chain Chomp's in there, Kirby. Okay. It's called Anti-Kirby.
Did you guys know this started out as them trying to port Link to the Past to Game Boy?
Oh, wow.
They started out there and said, we're going to see if we can port Link to the Past to Game Boy. But then they ended up just creating their own thing.
Yeah, and I've always wanted to see at least design docs, because apparently it was up and running and totally functional as a port to Game Boy, which makes sense, right? Like, that engine could totally run Link to the Past, right? Maybe it's like quantity-wise, like size-wise.
Yeah,
that might present a challenge for the Game Boy cartridge. But like even that type of stuff got like, you know, well, eventually there was multi-meg cartridges for Super Nintendo, as we know. Mm. So they might have been able to get around that. It would have just been really expensive eventually. Still, somebody.
I just want to know if in 30 years we'll get a Mina the Hollower game that looks like this.
Maybe.
Aw.
Cool.
Well, don't worry. In 30 minutes, you'll be able to just AI generate Mina the Hollower game that looks like that.
Great.
Nicely job. Thank you for this suggestion, Nick Hodgson. And that is all the scoops that we have for you this week. Thank you for hanging out with us this week. Thank you to Sam, Justin, Mark. Thank you to Mariah and everyone working behind the scenes. Alexio. It was a little bit of a challenge getting this episode up and running. But you know what? We've just been soaring. Ever since we finally got off the ground. I think this is a good episode. The only thing that would have made it better is if we were all in the same room. Anyway, we'll see you guys all next week. My name is Damon, this is IGN GameScoop, and we're out.
Contained herein are the heresies of Radolf Buntwine, erstwhile monk-turned-traveling medical investigator. Join me as I uncover the blasphemous truth of a plague-ridden world, that ours is not a loving God, and we are not its favored children. The Heresies of Radolf Buntwine, coming January 2nd, wherever podcasts are available.